Hey, baby. Nashville stand-up's here.
You look tired. Here, have some cocoa.
Pull your pants off.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Nashville Stand-Up Radio. On xradio.biz, Nashville Music City. And here is your host, Mr. Chad Ryden. Give it up for Chad Ryden, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, my name is Chad Ryden. And here's your other host, Mr. Jesse Perry.
Oh! A little slow that time.
Man, we've got a pretty cool show. Tonight in the studio, we have Mr. Matthew Sterling, not to be confused with the porn star of the same name.
It's an incredible guest tonight.
Comedian, not the porn star. Also, Mr. Dan Whitehurst.
Dan Whitehurst, yes!
Yeah. Hilarious. Former cop, was once voted as the world's funniest cop in the world. And he's here. And then also in the studio, we've got Leslie Nash, Joel T. Wilson, Shelley Raymond, Rob Haynes, Corey Rapond, Joey Strawn, and the millions of insup fans packed in the back room listening through their monitors.
Oh, man. And thanks to the good people at the penitentiary who are listening to us right now. We're making a difference.
We've always said we're doing this show for the people in lockdown.
That's right. It's for our homies in Cell Block G, and that's what comedy's all about.
Straight up.
But we also, Chad, why don't you tell us our mission statement?
We're on a mission from God. NashvilleStandup.com is a non-profit organization with the mission to promote Middle Tennessee's growing stand-up comedy scene and the Nashville-based comedians that help make it a success. This website is the only resource for complete local stand-up comedy show listings, news, and serves as a centralized hub of information for comedians and comedy fans all over the world. Jesse.
The applause sign, yeah, that was really good.
I said words.
Thank you, and our lovely and talented producer Andy Lynn is here. Give it up for the.
I don't think she's slept in 4 days. She's constantly on the radio.
She is a committed broadcaster.
Watch the broad.
Yes, that's broadcasting. Broad on the pod. That's what this is.
Well, to be fair, we're narrowcasting. This is about we're hitting for the most niche market there possibly is.
That's right. Every funny person in Davidson County.
Yes.
And they're all in here tonight. Woo! Yes! Yeah! Man. So let's start with a little bit of funny ha-has from someone who was here last week, Mr. Ryan Williams.
He's complained that we haven't played any of his stuff, and we're going to, especially just because he's not here to stop us.
Absolutely, and I can't wait to not interview him. Here's Ryan Williams on xradio.biz, Nashville, Music City.
So I'm from New York originally. Who here has been in New York, been in the Empire State Building? Have you been there? Thank you, sir. This is for you. I think this guy knows what I'm talking about. My wife and I had never been to the Empire State Building ever. I grew up in New York, but I took her along with me last Christmas, and we decided to go up there on Christmas Eve. So romantic. Here's the thing about the Empire State Building, they don't tell you. Before you get to spend like 10 minutes up at the very, very top of the Empire State Building, you have to spend like 3 hours in the basement of the Empire State Building. And everything in New York that is like sub-street level smells like the first 10 feet of Walmart. So we're in there, and we're like, okay, we've got to go up the elevator, and then the other elevator, and the other elevator, and we're in front of this group of people, and usually you get tours in New York, and that's kind of cool, but this was a, I shit you not, blind tour of New York City. A bunch of blind people, 30 to be exact, decided they were going to go to the observation deck of the Empire State Building. Okay, little tip for the bus driver. If you're the tour guide slash bus driver of a blind tour of the Empire State Building, take them to the Rufus Abaro. It's right across the street, and they'll be up there. Oh boy, New York smells like pizza because we're on Sabaro. Instead, I had to sit behind people who literally, they said this at the observation deck. They said, boy, it feels really high up. Oh my God. I bet you those people feel just like ants down there. Why people are stupid. Anyway, that's my point. Who has kids? Anyone? Who's got the? Yes, you do. I don't have kids yet, but I do have a niece, and she's 3. So I thought I'd do that thing that you do on the birthdays. I bought her a Barbie, thinking it was like the coolest thing in the world to buy is a Barbie. Question for the ladies, why do you even worry about selling the Barbies in boxes with clothes? Because as soon as Barbie's out of the box, she goes from Barbie to naked Barbie. Spring bank Barbie, that's all I care about. I spent the night over at her place, and I thought it'd be a totally nice thing if, like, I would redress, like, serial killer victim Barbie at this point. So I decided, and with a button on the back of her blouse, and it's as big as a chicken wing, it's huge. Speaking of chicken wings, have you tried the Barbie legs? They're like bones in a tring, tring, tring. So I'm like, I'm 31 years old, and I'm in my niece's room putting the pants back on Barbie, and that's when my wife walks in. What are you doing? Putting Barbie's pants back on. I'm not a helper, that's my point. That's where I was going with that one. And let's see where I'm going with this one. My mother, growing up, was so Jewish. She was so Jewish, she wouldn't let us play Risk because the board did not recognize the state of Israel. Oh! Because some people like political humor. And some people come to the Barker. A friend of mine is a comic, and one of her biggest complaints she talks about is that, according to an internet survey, the average male ejaculate leaves the body at 25 to 30 miles an hour, which if you think about it, whoa! And her complaint was that in her experience, it didn't leave at 25 to 30 miles an hour. At the most, it would leave her body, you know, it'd leave the guy's body at her at the most 10 to 15 miles an hour. But you know what? In my defense, the majority of the time when I ejaculate, it's in a school zone. That's what I want. I want the groans. I do, because it means that I'm hurting you. And that's, you know, that's kind of cool for my body. Okay, I'm going to close on this one because it's a big closer. Ladies and gentlemen, my wife, who happens to be a vegetarian, was in the car with me a couple of days ago. We decided we're going to go get ribs. Chili's is like the best thing in the world now because not only do you not have to go in there, you can just pull right up and they'll come right out. Here's your ribs, and they'll take your car and they carry you, right? Which is really great. Unless you're in a car with a vegetarian. My wife and I like to pick on her. You want some ribs? Maybe we're going to get some ribs. So we're driving over there and I even said to her, hey, we're going to get some ribs. You can have some. I don't want any ribs. Cavemen eat ribs. That's barbaric. And I guess she's right because I pulled into Chili's. A lady came out, put them on my car. My car tipped over on its side. My name is Adam.
He's hilarious. That's awesome.
Ryan Williams.
What a guy that is.
Oh, man, that was tremendous. Check out his website, myblisteringhell.com. And now I think it's time, Chad. I think it's time for...
Time to bust a rhyme?
No.
Time to suck a lime?
No.
Time to hack Chris Rock and Chris Farley?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes,
I
it
suck.
Is. It is now time... for the most important thing in the universe.
What's that?
It is now time
We're not playing a set of yours again, are we?
No.
I'm sick
no,
of
it. No, this is much worse. It is now time for Iron Comic.
Iron Comic.
In which two contestants enter the battle arena and must write five jokes in an hour about the topic of our so choosing.
What did we choose?
The topic will be discussed after we introduce our contestants with our man in the pit, Corey Rapon.
Thanks, Jesse. We have two very battle-hardened competitors this week. First up in the green corner is Rob Haynes.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce. Rob is actually Japan's foremost Italian comic. he actually studied under the famous comic Shecky Arturo Miyamoto.
Wow.
That's how I learned to know him.
In the yellow corner.
We're on the
air. Is Joel T. Wilson.
Joel T.
Wilson!
Joel told some slurred jokes at a Waffle House once at 3 in the morning trying to pick up a waitress.
Outstanding.
It'll be an interesting battle.
Haven't we all?
He is a genuine Nashville comic.
Excellent.
Well, this is incredibly exciting. We have two worthy contestants who we'll be talking to later. They have an hour to make with the frivolity. But the topic that we will give them this week is none other than...
The effects existentialism had on art and literature during and after the Second World War?
We did that last week.
Oh.
No, the topic is time.
I wish I had some Pink Floyd music to play.
Yes, it's very exciting. So, you got an hour. Go.
Make with the funny.
And now they are now running to their desks with notepads and pens. Wow. It's a mad, girlish rush. Rob, listen to that writing. It's incredible.
It doesn't sound like writing.
It sounds pretty funny so far.
We can't really describe what they're doing to each other right now. But when they're done, they'll be ready to tell some jokes.
Yay. It's about time. It's about time somebody did that.
Oh, you are truly Nashville's finest representative, Chad.
Well, I try.
Your enthusiasm and your drive and your whole thing where you don't care at all.
I'll never stop half-assing it for you people.
Yay.
I'll be here half-assing it forever.
Oh, and we do want to thank our sponsors, as always. This week is sponsored by the Turn Signal. It still exists, Nashville. And
it's your turn.
And by Nike.
And I'd like to thank our other sponsor, of course, Fresca.
Fresca!
That's good drinking!
Man, that is an incredible beverage. Have you ever had that Fresca?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I give it away. but if you stack enough up, you can effectively keep a door from opening.
I've been told by the guy at AutoZone that if you run out of antifreeze, you can use Fresca.
That's true.
And it'll keep your stuff from boiling over and whatnot. True.
Wow.
Anybody else use Fresca for
any liquid? Don't
do the fourth pet boy, Chad Ryden over here. Thanks, buddy.
I'll fix it.
Well, we have got some incredible guests this week from New York City.
New York City, by way of Nashville.
Get a rope.
Mr. Matt Sterling is here. Yeah. Let's hear it for Matt. Hey, Matt. Since I called your name, you want to be near a microphone?
Oh,
local.
Come
boy
on up
does
here.
Good.
We're going to be interviewing Matt here shortly, but first. Yes, you have to be near a microphone to talk.
Okay. Do you want to play a clip of Matthew on stage?
Oh, sure. Where do you know where this clip is from?
Nope. Oh, Truth, Beauty, and Goodness. It's from Truth, Beauty, and Goodness Coffee House in Nashville City. We're there the second Saturday of every month, making with the funny.
Xradio.biz, Nashville Music City.
Because I'm married. So now I don't, you know, I can't have sex with anonymous strangers. I just have sex with the one emotional stranger. So, I'm just joking. I don't have sex. I'm married. Didn't you hear me? All right. Seriously, last week was the first year for my wife and I. Who can beat it? I know. Sue's got, who are, what do you got?
14.
All right, I got 14. Do I hear 15? Do I hear 15? Who can beat it? A lot. You're the winner. There's no disputing that. Even like a guesstimate, a ballpark figure. You wouldn't dare? 38? Holy crap, a round of applause for 38 years. That's amazing. I mean that in all sincerity. I have a tendency to seem sarcastic and like I only care about me, which is true. But that is legitimately an amazing accomplishment, and God bless you for it. Because my wife and I got married a year ago, and I love her to death. I would not have... The Chosen One! And it's a small enough city, too, that like you guys could tell everybody to say that. When you see her, it's like she's this pretty young girl. She's a brunette. When she walks on the street and she buys groceries, just be like, the Chosen One. It'd be great. But I love my wife dearly. I really do. And, you know, it's fully my intention to stay with her until the day that I die or the day that I kill her. I really do love her. And I want to be with her for the long haul. But marriage is tough. 38 years. Is it not tough? Tell the young kids. It's hard. And the hardest thing, too, is that, like, the media constantly bombards you with these statistics about how difficult it is to be married. Because what's the divorce rate in America? It's like 60%+, right? Yeah, so it's like 60%+ in America. And it's even more difficult for my wife and I because this is our first marriage, right? We're young. We're broke. I have an unstable work environment. She's into chicks. There's like all these mitigating factors that are conspiring to keep us apart. But I love my wife dearly, and I've discovered in the limited time we've been together that she is the queen of the nighttime non sequitur. And I don't know if your lovely lady does this, but in the middle of the night when I'm trying to go to sleep, she will tap me on the shoulder and without provocation say the most ridiculous, inane things to me, right? And I love her. I love her to death, but this is a true story. We've been together for like a week. Like this was shortly after our honeymoon. And I'm trying to go to sleep, and she leans over. And again, without provocation, I've done nothing. And she taps me on the shoulder and says, honey, don't ever cheat on me, and don't make me cheat on you. Yeah, exactly. We've been married like a week. Where'd the trust go? But being the loving, sensitive husband that I am, I immediately looked her in the eye and said, honey, cheating, don't worry, you know, just don't get fat. You stay hot, I stay interested. That's the way this works. There are a lot of ladies that want this man meat. I showed him the belly. I showed him the belly! Can you have baby fat, not be able to grow a mustache, and still be in a loving, committed relationship? Hell yes. I've tried so many different times to grow a mustache just to see what it would look like for an 11-year-old from, like, the, you know, Little Abner cartoon instead of a mustache, and it's not pretty. I'm going to try to work on it next time. I'm going to work on it for a month, then maybe I can come back to the next show. You guys will be like, oh, my God, he wasn't kidding. It's like some sort of retarded backwoods Mexican, so I like that joke because it was mean. What was this going to talk about? Oh, yeah. So you guys live in Ashland City, most everybody, right? No one came, you know, no members of our entourage drove all the way down here to see the show, right? Everybody's from Ashland City? Yeah. No? All right. 38 years, what do you got? Nashville, all right. And you came in for this? Do you have friends or family? Awesome. 38 years, you're the best. You get the hamburger on the floor. I've already assigned it. Nobody else can get it. You may have to fight a rat. Anybody who can beat Nashville? Who can come from further away? Where? Where is that? Wow. At least it's still in Tennessee, because if you had said Kentucky, I'd have been like, get the hell out of here, friend. Well, yeah, Godspeed. Travel safe. But basically, we're all from the South, right? Most everybody here is from the South? Yeah. I love the South. And a lot of people assume that I'm not from around here because I don't have an accent and I can read. But I love the South. I grew up in the South. I think it's an amazing part of the country. Well, here we go. And blah, 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 blah. And the difference between black people and white people is this. And girls are like this. And and the difference is, I can't believe all the things they miss. And now it's like, the chosen one! Bonacqua declares you the chosen one. Stare deep into his loud, garish shirt and find your future. Army pants returns. But so, this is my point. I love the South. I truly do. And because I love it, I can take it to task, right? And I can tell you about something about the South that I'm not a big fan of, and that would be the ongoing debate between Ford truck owners and Chevrolet truck owners. And I saw some trucks out there, so I know we've got some people that are into it. So just let's get it out of the way. Where are my Ford people at? Come on, don't be shy. All right, I see a couple hands. All right, inevitable follow-up query. Where are my Chevrolet people at? Scream, oh, you're outnumbered. Kick his ass. The infidel. You're the mighty America that is Iraq. Crush. Well, I'm glad you guys didn't get into it too much, because I don't want to be a jerk, but in my experience, the only people that get, like, really psyched about which is better, the Ford or the Chevy, are, like, the same kind of guys who can't seem to let go of the Civil War or the Scopes Monkey Trial. You know, it's like, hey, we live in the 21st century. Join us, won't you? But I want to tell you a true story. I saw one of these, and here's the thing. Like, I'm all for healthy debate, right? Especially when it comes to cars and other things I don't know anything about. I think it's interesting. But when you put, like, an angry bumper sticker on your car, that's just ridiculous. It's, frankly, it's kind of classless. And the thing is, you would never see it, like, on luxury automobiles, you know? You never see it in the Blue Bloods. You're not going to be driving down the streets of Belle Meade late at night, and on the back of every $80,000 Mercedes Benz, there's, like, a mural of Calvin and Hobbes pissing on a BMW logo. You know? Take that! That doesn't happen, is my point. But so I saw one of these bumper stickers, and this is a true, true story. I was driving on the highway, and I saw one of these bumper stickers, and it was on the back of the guy's Ford, right? Swear to God, this is true. And it covered literally the entirety of his back windshield. The whole windshield is covered with this bumper sticker. And it's a poem, right? And that's what you want to do, right? You spend 20, 30 grand on an automobile, you want to cover it in poetry and shit. It's the first thing you do. Wash it, poetry. And so this thing covers the entirety, and this is a direct quote. I memorized it because I'm very smart. It said, little boys wear bow ties, which is a reference to your beloved Chevrolet logo. Little boys wear bow ties. Big boys drive Fords. But here's the thing, man. This wasn't on the back of like a Ford F-150 two-ton pickup truck. It was on the back of a Ford Escort. I'm not joking, man. No wheels, smoke coming out from all corners, Ford Escort. I drive a Saturn, and even I could kick that guy's ass. That's my point. So this is a true story. So I had to see what kind of goof would have like a real excited, oh, my car kicks ass and yours sucks ass, you stupid suck ass, kind of bumper sticker on the back of his Escort, right? And so I pull up next to him and I honk just to see what the dude looks like. And he's got a mullet. I'm not making that up. He's got a mullet. He shoots me a little medal. And on his shirt, I shit you not, it said, the South will rise again. the South will rise again. I think he's the guy that, you know, made that Nathan Bedford Forrest statue on Isaac the Bat. The South will rise again. No, it won't. Yeah, it won't. And again, let me preface this by saying, I love the South. I've lived here my entire life. I love this part of the country. But it will not rise again. Okay? A couple reasons why. For starters, it never rose successfully to begin with. So it cannot, therefore, rise again. Never happened. Always a bridesmaid. Never a bride. Number two, I don't know about you guys, but in the annals of history, I recall no instances in which, you know, successful revolutions or coups emanated from a trailer park. Didn't happen. Not gonna happen. What do you think we should do today? Overthrow the government. Not gonna happen. A lot of talk, not a lot of action. And last but not least, the reason the South will not rise again is because, as, you know, wonderful sentiment as it may be, the only time you hear it said with any earnestness and sincerity is when you're reading it off of a redneck's t-shirt that he bought at a gas station. And here's the thing. Novelty t-shirts, trucker hats that you buy at a gas station, they're not true. The things they write on them aren't going to come to pass. If everything that happened on a novelty t-shirt were actually true, then I would be the official pussy inspector. But I'm not. I am not. I am merely his assistant.
Yeah.
Matt Sterling, hot young up-and-comer in the studio with us. Matt, tell us about your latest projects. How you doing, man? Great job. Incredible set.
Oh, thank you for lying to me.
Well, we all do that occasionally.
Yeah. I should probably take my gum out.
Yeah.
Since this is a... you know, a talking kind of based medium.
Matt Sterling is nothing if not a pro.
He shoots and he misses. Oh, he scores.
Oh, he got it.
Into the basket. Yay.
If only we had a webcam.
You threw some trash in a basket. We're applauding that.
Yeah. Matt Sterling, from Nashville area, comedy here and then had the good sense to leave.
Yes. You,
well,
moved
that remains to be seen. But
you
I
moved
did leave.
To the Big Apple.
That's right.
Detroit, I believe.
That's what that is. You're thinking of Chicago.
8 Mile.
Oh, okay. But you went to New York City, and you're living there now, and what are you doing up there? Are you making mirth?
I am neither making mirth nor money.
Good.
I am losing my personal financial portfolio at a rapid clip, and my dreams. I thought I couldn't, like, sink any lower than the end of my tenure in Nashville, but I've found in the 3 short months that you can get a lot worse. Things like life can get harder. Your comedy can get less funny. It's been a beautiful beautiful time. And I say all of that without a trace of irony or sarcasm, which is
that's
not funny, but true.
That's terrific. That is one thing I've always noticed about your act. It's very straightforward. You know, there's no irony going on at all.
None whatsoever.
You hate sarcasm.
I know. I'm not a fan. Not a fan at all.
I once saw him get into a fight with sarcasm after a show.
That's right.
That's true.
Got his butt kicked. But Matt's a lover, not a fighter, to be fair.
That's true.
It's all 90 pounds of me.
Too bad you couldn't have made love to the sarcasm, and instead you fought it and you lost.
I got nothing. Hence my perennial failures. Does anybody have an act based where they just literally do 45 straight minutes about on why they haven't achieved success, and that, and in turn becomes a huge success?
Her name's Kathy Griffin.
There you go.
Now, when you're not getting beaten up by words, Matt.
Yeah, it's true.
You're, I'm sure, living in New York, you get to see. You're able to see a lot of comedy.
Yeah, that's like my whole philosophy when my wife and I decided to move there was that. In the not likely, you know, in the probable event that my career doesn't take off, which it hasn't, I will at least be able to live out my days seeing the best of the best for little to no money whatsoever. And that part has proven to be a rousing success. Because it's
awesome.
It's really all it is exactly what you'd expect. It's an exponentially larger city, so there's just exponential, you know, more options. And it's, you know, there's 10 times as 100 times as much bad stuff, but 100 times more great stuff, you know, and it's awesome. You know, like every night you can see truly amazing stuff for free, basically.
Unreal. So now, on a given night, how many comedy shows are there in the city?
There are between 4 and 6 gabillion.
Wow.
That's a rough estimate.
That's 3 gabillion more than here.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's a stupid amount of comedy at any given moment, and it's more than a little overwhelming. I was telling some of the guys earlier who asked me how it's going, and my wife and I have been there now for 3 months, and I have yet to set foot in a comedy club.
mostly because it costs too much money in comparison to how much I can see that's like of truly great, you know, A-level comedy for almost nothing. There's just, you know, what we have here with like Bongo and Barkhar, they have 100 of those, and the level of talent fighting to get into it, you know. Well, Chad makes a yearly trip up there. I mean, you see it firsthand.
Yeah, it's always crazy. I mean, you pick up that Time Out magazine, and there's 15 to 20 shows. It's guys from that write for Conan, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, and they'll just come up and do stuff. Daily Show. And it's like there'll be 8 dudes in there. I saw the first week I was there, I went to see the Midnight Pajama Jam, which is a weekly show that's co-hosted by John Glazer, who wrote for Conan, wrote for the Dana Carvey Show. I mean, all these amazing credits, and it was co-hosted by him and John Benjamin, who was Dr. Katz's son on the Dr. Katz Show.
Yeah.
And does all, and those two guys came in, and there were maybe 15 people in the audience. And they had the guy who wrote Old School came and did a panel piece. Rob Corddry from The Daily Show was there.
Wow.
And then Leo Allen of Sloven and Allen came and did stuff. And there was, I mean, it's just because there's so many options. That week just happened to be a little light attendance-wise. But these were people that if they came through Nashville, we would have mobilized, you know, a group to go see them. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's just one of 100 shows going on like that every night. So it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
You know, be able to see. I've learned a lot.
Have you performed?
Yes, I have. I've been performing a fair amount and... it's weird because like I've definitely missed out on the camaraderie here. Mostly, I mean, there's camaraderie there. I'm not a part of it because no one knows me and doesn't want to be my friend yet. Fingers crossed. But then, like, there's like the competition. They don't try to disguise the fact that like, hey, you're funny. But then they'll immediately go into the criticisms because they want to. It's just so fierce, and there's right. so much writing at stake. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's not even a sense of like, well, let's be friends. You know? You know what I mean? And no one's rude. They're not mean, but there's definitely a sense of like. This is the big time, and we're not here to
hug.
Playing me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's good in a sense because it forces you to, you know, thicken up your skin. And but at the same time,
it gives you more imaginary friends too, which is fun.
Exactly.
It's fun.
I need more because Lord knows I have none. It's just my wife, and she's not much fun to be around. Well, she would say the same of me. It's more of a marriage of convenience.
It's a marriage built on boredom and sadness.
She brings the health insurance. I bring the self-loathing. Together.
Perfect couple.
That's right. Can't wait for those kids.
Oh, man.
Give it a hand for Matt Sterling.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Fantastic gift.
And as I predicted, zero jokes. Zero jokes.
You called it, my friend. Well, we have many more guests to get to. Why don't we get an update on our Iron Comet competition. Corey, how are things in the pit?
Things in the pit are going phenomenally, Jesse. Rob has actually, in an unprecedented move, left Comic Stadium to get... I'm being told it's a 40-ounce and a fish sandwich.
Wow.
He is confident.
That's definitely Rob.
And Joel has written down, I'm peeking over his shoulder right now, that's wholly inappropriate. I can't repeat that.
Well, you just did.
Back to you, Jesse.
Corey.
Way to go.
Yeah. Once again, you've ruined the show.
I'll tell you what. I always love it on this show when people use profanities and then say they didn't say it.
Right. That's my favorite thing on TV. Can I say bleep? Because if I can't say bleep, then maybe I should say another word besides bleep.
I have never seen that happen on television.
Oh. Maybe that's just in my mind.
That's the TV in your head, Chad.
Well, it's funny.
Oh, so are the phones working?
Let's take a call.
The phones are down. If you know how to fix them, please call 1-877-X-RADIO-8.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll field your calls and care. But for now,
I doubt it.
Well, Chad won't.
No,
Chad refuses.
You want to play another set from somebody?
I would be thrilled to hear. How about if I hope now Rob is Rob back from his 40
fish and
fish?
40?
I'm going to need to get some tartar sauce, but I think I can struggle through and play through the pain.
Well,
it's probably one of his sets.
If you're not too busy, would you mind being interviewed here in just a second?
All right.
That's the spirit.
That's enthusiasm.
It's that kind of can do it. Rick is now a word.
Man.
All right, if you want
digging
to
dig a grave, aren't you?
For over 5 years, Nashville Stand-Up.
Yes. Now let's hear some more gibberish on nextradio.biz, Nashville Music City.
It's going to be track 3 coming up here, so let's just talk until it starts. And track 3 on that first CD.
Track 3 on the first CD.
Mr. Rob Haynes from the Bar Car every Tuesday night coming stage.
Coming up next is the only man here whose nickname is a condiment. Give it up for Rob Hot Sauce Haynes.
like to announce I've officially changed my name to Mustard. I'd appreciate it if you call me as such from here on in. How you guys doing?
Good!
Fantastic. Awesome. Frenches. That's how I roll. So, yeah. Let's just over at the bathroom, make sure I look right for the ladies, because we've got four of them here this evening, and I want to make sure I'm looking good. But it occurred to me, between my hair, and then the Super Friend shirt, and then the baggy pants, and the huge man boobs, I have never looked more like a lesbian in my life. They're just awesome. There's four of you, I've still got a shot with, like, what, one? Jeez. Talk amongst yourselves, decide. Don't fight. But, yeah. So my dad thinks I'm gay. Anybody else? Yeah, stunned silence. Whose phone is that? Hello? I just wanted to jam. I like techno. Sorry. So my dad thinks I'm gay. I don't know why I'm not, but I mean, just because I don't have a girlfriend and I don't play football, and in the high school production of Grease, I played Rizzo 5 years in a row. I don't see where he's finding these things. So yeah, I just saw a cool thing at Walmart the other day. You can get the Bible on DVD now. Woo, which is sweet, because I hate reading. But it's kind of cool, because it's like it's spreading the faith and all that. But the Bible is one disc. At that same time, I bought the first season of Sanford and Son, 6 discs. Apparently, Lamont is just way too cantankerous and old to be contained on one disc. But the Word of God, we can just hit the highlights. It took 6 days, some stuff happened, see you, bye. Don't be Jewish, have a good one. I was wrong, and I apologize. That happens. But after I watched the Bible, which turns out only takes 98 minutes, which is sweet, I watched this other movie, I can't remember what it was called, but I knew it was historically accurate because it had Morgan Freeman in it. And everything he does is always historically accurate. I go, yeah, Amistad, Shawshank Redemption, my personal favorite, Deep Impact. That's an awesome flick, guys. That's one where President Morgan Freeman and Frodo fight the asteroids, which I'm pretty sure are piloted by Zombie Hitler. It's a good little flick. You need to check it out. But just moved into my first real house. Kind of proud of that. First real place. Awesome. Felt like an adult. And then I packed up the car and realized I only had one box marked books, but three marked Star Wars, guys. That hurt me a little in here. But I ate some pie and I felt better about myself. That's what key limes do. But before that, I was actually living in a college dorm, and that is just the worst way to live, because it's kind of like being in jail, because you're sharing this 10x10 state government-funded box with another dude in a pair of bunk beds. It's kind of like, I don't know, being in jail, because there's one difference. The gay sex, not nearly as scary. Or exciting, in my opinion. Just me, personally. I'm looking for a new job, and one of the last jobs I applied for earlier this week is in a prison, at the Tennessee State Prison. And normally, I'm afraid of prison like Alabama's afraid of change, but I need the money, so I applied. And it was screening packages, and they told me these are things you're going to need to look out for, and they gave me a list of the top three things that come into a prison. And the first one's obviously people send cigarettes in. Number two is candy. Number three shocked me because it's healthcare and beauty aids. Maybe it's just me, but if I'm stuck in a cell with a guy who hadn't seen a woman in 5 to 10, the last thing I want is for him to think my hair smells like mangoes. Just look at me, all right? I got creamy white skin and a pair of rags. Better than you're going to see on cell block D. I'm already a target. It's not going to bode well for me. So, yeah. I just broke up with my girlfriend. Didn't work out well for me. Because, I don't know. I have the same insecurities every man does, and it all stems. I'm insecure about the size of my penis. How about y'all? Not awesome. You know right where my penis is at. That's great. It's small. But she's trying to help me out. She gave it a nickname. She used to call it Bigfoot to help me out. And it helped until she broke up with me, and then she told me, Rob, I always called it Bigfoot, not because it was big, but because while I always suspected it was there, I never actually saw it. And that hurts. A little bit. It's okay. Let's broke for the best that we broke up because she used to get on my nerves so much because it's the most annoying thing I've ever seen. She was originally from Michigan, so whenever she would ask, people would ask her, oh, where are you from? She couldn't just say, oh, I'm from Detroit. She had to do this deal where she takes her finger in her hand and shows you where in Michigan she's from. That bugged the hell out of me because I'm originally from Florida and I can't whip my cock out and show people where Orlando's at. Regardless of how eerily accurate the veins run along the highways.
Oh, hot sauce.
Hot sauce. Oh, man. Good job, Mr. Haynes.
Grazie.
I would have, if I had had my druthers, I probably would have voted for you. But there was a crowd revolt.
Dude, man, you cannot trust those hurricane victims.
There was an
they are dirty.
There was
dirty,
an
they're shady.
There was an insurgency at Bar Car last week, and
there was a performer named Massa. You guys
great
know
guy.
Massa, great
Love
guy.
Massa.
He volunteered.
I call my boss,
Leslie Nash, who is here. Give it up for Leslie Nash, who organized the Katrina benefit, which raised
did a great job. We raised
$100,000, $120, $1,000,
and a bag full of your T-shirts.
And now because of me,
which will set
because of me, the victims of Hurricane Katrina now look like the coolest kids from 1989.
Awesome.
And I'm pretty. I'm just doing my part, and you know, I got them a box of ravioli. So in a way, all of their problems are solved.
Mission accomplished, as Bush says.
But Rob was at the end of your set there. You discussed your ex-girlfriend, your lady.
Yes.
And you were telling us some spicy stories.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to describe this. I don't know. Like, I'm a big guy, and I normally don't have, like, I'm not one who's necessarily attracted to attractive women. So so the girl I was dating at the time, she was really, really big. And I don't know if you've guys seen two fat people going at it, but it's not attractive. Everything's kind of, like, glistening and jiggling. Kind of looks like a giant can of Spam you left on the dryer.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Nice.
Outstanding. Now, that is a visual image that is burnt onto my brain.
We ended up breaking up because right before we broke up, she told me she was questioning her sexuality and thought she could possibly be bisexual or a lesbian,
That's
which
shame.
Hurt me a little bit because it occurred to me that between, like, the large man boobs and tiny package, I'm sure it was just a smooth transition straight to chicks. Apparently I'm small and unobtrusive, not quite concave.
Oh, man. Unobtrusive. What better way to describe one's package? Oh, man. Well, Rob, thank
sorry.
You so much, Mr. Sauce. How is your writing going on the Iron Comic?
You know.
Oh, so. he's being tight-lipped.
Well, I hope you step it up because, as always, the prize, the grand prize for Iron Comic, an autographed photo of Jeff Breedwell.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So
now, you made an interesting life decision recently, Rob. Like B.W. Davis, who we had last week, you decided to drop out of college to pursue your comedy dream. Is that correct?
Well, I didn't quite make that decision. I believe MTSU made that decision.
They
want insistent? Money. I don't have it.
That's a shame.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. Well, that story took a tragic turn.
No, I mean, I'm trying to turn it into a positive. I mean, I was becoming disillusioned with college anyway because I went into college thinking I wanted to work in television and radio. And then I start, studying television and radio and decide, I hate television and radio.
That's You're listening to xradio.biz, Nashville Music City.
Internet radio is great.
That's the spirit.
Yeah.
Now, so I'm trying to turn it into a positive, and I figured, hey, go live the dream. And that was the greatest decision I have ever made because I ate crackers for breakfast.
Yes.
Well, good for
that's,
you,
That's
man.
Terrific. Now, now, I thought that you had actually were living your dream for a while earlier because you were a DJ.
Yes.
At a strip
yes.
club. Is that correct?
That is, yeah, and that's also another job that I left because apparently I don't learn. That's my problem.
What's there to learn at a strip club?
Whether they're fake or not, which it's actually really easy. It's about the circumference. That's what it is.
Circumference.
Yeah.
Is there like
if they're like an orb, they're usually real.
Is there a chart?
There is. Here, let me show you.
Oh, my.
See, what you going to do?
Oh,
look
okay.
at this right here.
Oh, what an interesting chart.
Do you see the pie chart?
Oh, yes. That chart right there?
Yes. This one.
Oh,
I
my.
Love radio.
I've always wanted to broadcast fireworks on the radio. I think that'd be great. That
it's
was
so
pretty.
Pretty.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that was great is the perfect word for what that just was. Greatness.
We've got some more sponsors for this hour of the show. This show is always sponsored by Sugar Cube Cereal, Screw Flakes, and Post 9/11 Crunch, the only Twin Towers cereal in existence.
And also don't forget about Pabst Blue Ribbon, because you're not a social drinker.
Rob's got his own sponsorships.
Yeah, he's actually wearing decals. He's like a NASCAR vehicle here.
Awesome. Exciting. Do you guys want to play another clip of
Who Wants More Comedy?
Who? This next stuff is a recording Dan Whitehurst made in Chattanooga not too long ago. Very funny dude. He'll be right here in just a second.
On xradio.biz/Nashville.
Who do who?
Don't you hate it when you're staying at somebody's house and all they have are those decorative towels in the bathroom? And you really don't want to use them? There's no toilet paper. What are you going to do, you know? I know what y'all are thinking. This guy is probably really good with women. I've got a bigger laugh than the winner, don't you? I always had a lot of trouble with women, you know, especially that awkward pepper spray phase of the relationship. I follow them around to make sure they weren't being stalked. They appreciate it? Nope. Actually, I had one girl dump me because, get this, she said I was strange and she wanted a regular guy. Regular guy. I tried eating more fiber. Apparently, that's not what she meant. She let me go. She had no class, though. You know, class is an important thing. When I could tell she had no class, I take her home to meet the family. The first thing she does right there in front of my grandparents and everybody is start scratching her butt, you know. Blew me away. Dad said, ah, son, it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, to me, it was pretty traumatic watching her scoot across the carpet like that. I actually wrote a poem about her. Her name's Jennifer. It's a serious poem. It's not really comedy, per se. But y'all want to hear it just for the ladies?
Yeah.
The men are going to hate this. It's called Lost Love by Dan Whitehurst. She smiles with her eyes within an admiring glance and reaches out to me from a time long since past. Unyielding emotions that I must have once known rush forth past a memory of years all alone. The curve of her buttocks, the size of her breast, the hidden video footage I show to my guest. She still twirls in my head like a beautiful dancer. The cops ask me questions. I just can't answer. She let me know it was over in her own special way with a 3-second burst from a can of pepper spray. To admit that it was over was quite a safe bet. So I put her nude photos on the internet. Her father was angry, and so was her mom. They didn't want anyone to know about www.jennifer.com. Okay, I'm not a poet. I got married, though. I got married February the 11th of 2000, so I've been married about, 8-9 years now. Marriage is really great. It's kind of weird the way we met. We met in a mall. It's like we were there looking for the same thing. She was picking out one of those luring perfumes, and I was pulling the panties off of mannequins. But she's a very classy girl. The way I found this out is we go into a nice restaurant. The first thing she does is puts a cigarette in her mouth and hands me the lighter. Totally blew my mind. You know, it's not my lighter. And then I realized she wanted me to light her cigarette. So I lit it, and I'm thinking, well, this is class. This is what class is all about. Of course, I want to be thought it was a classy guy, too, right? So I hand drew my can of Copenhagen and a whole bunch of that right here. I waited late in life to get married because I'd heard a lot of bad things about marriage. I heard that when you get married, they either put on a lot of weight or they get mean. My wife got mean because I won't let her eat. And the other thing I heard is that when you get married, the sex is not as good anymore, but I found it's actually a lot better now, you know, with a partner. Hell, there's actually times it seems almost geeky, you know, with her there watching me.
Yeah. Dan Whitehurst, ladies and gentlemen, on xradio.biz, Nashville Music City. Dan, how are you doing today?
I am doing good, doing good.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Incredibly funny, man. Now, Chad was saying earlier that you were once voted the world's funniest cop. How long were you a police officer?
19 years, 2 months.
Wow.
3 days.
That's awesome. And you participated in the world's funniest cop competition a couple years, actually.
Actually, three. I won it once. The second time, both the crowds were all screwed up.
Dan took me to one of those, and I thought, oh, this is awesome. There's going to be like 700 people here. But then I realized that it's 700 cops, and I'm me.
Cops. Cops love to laugh.
Well, they did for the first 10 minutes of my act, and then it fell apart.
but you should have seen it, though. Chad doing the drug humor in front of 700 cops.
I swear, I've never felt more oblivious in my life. I was like, wait a minute, why aren't they? Oh, right.
Is that applause? No, that's handcuffs.
But a couple of them did buy me drinks after the show. I don't know if they wanted me to get them high or what, but it was pretty cool.
Possibly.
Officer Johnson, you like to party?
Yeah, they were cool.
So, the force, the beat, what was it like?
It was a lot like the movies.
Really?
It was. A lot of car chases, running on top of cars.
Well, no, not those movies.
Oh.
No. Other movies. It was all right. You can tell I'm winging it there, right?
That's improv.
That was improvisational genius. Indeed. You had you said you used to patrol Lower Broadway, right?
That's correct. When I first came out, I was 21 years old working on Lower Broadway back when it was really rough in the mid-80s, yeah. Just drugs, drunks, derelicts, and winos. And I don't know, my patrol car always smelled like urine. I think that's because I frightened easily. But
that's awesome.
Hey, I was 21, you know?
We're just watching Andy Lynn, our producer, write on a piece of paper, and it's hard to describe how enthralling it is unless you're here, but it's pretty awesome.
It should read, "Get Dan off of here."
No, Dan, it does.
No.
Kidding. So now you've quit and you're doing your road comedy full time now?
That, and I'm also writing a book.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
What's it about?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
What's the book about?
Being a good listener.
Well, that sounds awesome.
I got a feeling I'm being screwed with. That's not very nice.
Well, man, thanks for coming down, and this is awesome. I'm glad I can't, but I'm serious. Whenever a comic quits his job or drops out of school, I'm delighted.
That's true. That's true.
It's every honestly got truth.
An angel gets its wings.
That's
time.
Right.
That's right. Because this thing really is made up of quitters.
That's true.
I think it was the feeling was mutual. The department was probably almost as happy as me for me to leave. I don't know. My mentality didn't seem to suit them. Like, you know, the gun range, you had to go qualify every year. And we wound up getting issued these new Glock 40 calibers. And the instructor comes up and he's like, "So, Dan, what do you think about that new Glock?" And I said, "Well, you know, it doesn't fit comfortably in my mouth." wound up getting some free psychiatric counseling over that one.
That's awesome. Well, we don't have much more time to go. We've got to wrap up with the Iron Comic competition.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be great.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We have an update.
Well, we need to wrap it up, actually.
We'd wrap it. Oh, it's time.
Yeah. Dan, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, Dan.
Come back again. Oh, just to the break? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
This is a top-notch professional production.
No, it's not.
And
how about we do an update, and then we'll go to break, and we'll come back and get some more information.
That sounds fantastic.
Sounds great.
Thank you so much for knowing what you're doing, Andy. Yay! Give it up for, definitely give it up for Andy. Now, we do have an Iron Comic update with Coira Pond.
Rob appears to be pondering the battle to come over a nap. He's utilizing the time-honored stand-up comedy technique referred to as loafing.
Mm. Outstanding.
So that should be amazing.
That's my favorite type of comedy.
I like to do sleeping comedy.
We also do have a breaking development. Joel seems to have broken out the big guns.
Uh-oh.
Out of his backpack, he brought out a book, and if I'm reading this correctly, the title of the book is Writing Hilarious Jokes Quick by Dustin Diamond.
Wow.
So the, wow.
Dustin
the
Diamond,
have
of course,
been raised.
TV's Screech, notorious hack
and
crappy.
Chapter one,
yes.
Steal
comic.
Them.
And by all means, please check out www.screechsucks.com. It is a special site dedicated to the magic and power of Dustin Diamond.
And I don't like to pretend like I know what I'm doing, but I can say this with confidence. He does not.
That is true. That is true.
So... do not check out his show. And if you do check out his show, assault him.
Now, I don't know about beating up
physical assault. Well, that's true.
You
because
didn't
he's
see
a,
celebrity boxing.
He's a black belt, right?
He snapped Horshack in half.
Mm.
I think Horshack's dead, so...
But I think if you have cross words with him, he still will cry.
Well, I think the key is just to talk really screeched. Badly about him behind his back. And then when we meet him, we'll be like, oh, you're great. And
I doubt it.
That's what I prefer to do.
Yeah. Great. Well,
you want to go into a break with momentum. You want to go flying into it headlong. And my question is, Chad, how are we going to do that?
By scatting?
Scootaloo, boo-doo-doo! National stand-up!
Thank you for listening to part one of the NashvilleStandup.com radio show podcast extravaganza. I'm Chad Ryden. Unfortunately, the recording equipment screwed up on us. We've lost a good 30 minutes there of the second half of the show. And it's too bad, too, because it was really funny, I promise. We came back from a commercial break, and we all made fun of Lee Greenwood, and we were having a good time. We're going to join the broadcast in the middle of a story from Matt Sterling about how horrible of a person Lee Greenwood is. It's hilarious. I'm sorry that you missed the first part of it, but here's the rest. And now we join our program already in progress.
Attached to his little hip there, and it is the American flag on the cell phone. So, like, just in case you see him on the street, there can be no doubt that he truly loves the country. But he was, like, complaining the whole time because the choir was off and he was making these almost racist-like statements under his breath. It was a nightmare of epic proportions. And I edited the video, and when I was shooting it in the studio with him, he would, like, mug for the camera, and he would make all these, like, smiles and stuff. And it was like he was performing for an audience of thousands, and it was just me, and he was like whispering in my ear all these different things he wanted to see happen. Ooh. With it, and it was just like I really felt like he had robbed a piece of my soul. And I've worked with like I worked with like every horrible like musician in this town helping promote their shitty careers. I'm sorry. I worked with the worst of the worst in country and Christian, and it was like he took parts of me that I didn't even know I had, and like just I hurt for weeks. I couldn't speak, I couldn't think. So literally, if anyone is a fan of Lee Greenwood, I would be more than happy to just send me an email, go to like find on my web, and we can just discuss it at length, and I will do everything in my power to convince you that you're wrong. Because before I was indifferent like most of the country, and now I actively dislike the man, and I make it a goal of mine to bring him down as many pegs as I can.
And where is your website?
I have like 15, none of which are very helpful, but the best one would be go to like Matt Sterling is awesome. Go to NashvilleStandup.com and click on my picture of me when I was a little boy in my cowboy outfit. That's got an email link.
That's true.
That still fits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we like to some of Matt's websites. And
I have several.
Matt Sterling, you are a terrible self-promoter.
Yes, and I am. I can't remember what they're called because I don't have Matt Sterling anymore. Or if I do, I don't have anything on it.
We'll change that. We'll fix that.
But I have like 9 other sites that have really long URLs. So
well, go to Nashville Stand Up, and you can get links to all these guys. Yeah. Which is
that's right. We have a burgeoning comedy scene.
Mm.
We have, what would you say, 4,000
comics in town, or people who think they're comics. There's in town.
And that's half of it. You have to think you're funny before you can go up there and be unfunny.
But I think there's a good 25 or so people that are probably at the level we are.
That's
or,
true.
Or less, sad as that may be. And then there's people who actually are on the road so much that they technically call Nashville home, but they're never here.
Such as
Keith Alberstadt, one. He's in Boston this week.
The great Mary Mack.
Tim Northern. Mary Mack is destroying every comedy club she walks into. She MaryMackComedy.com.
Yeah, MaryMackComedy.com. Check
her. You're going to see her on TV before you can even look her up on the internet. She's awesome. And then, Tim Northern.
Tim Northern. Donna Kenny's been doing a lot of road work recently.
Yeah.
B.W. Davis is
out there with Ralphie May.
Doing a concert with Ralphie May. So, yes, our scene is worthy of an internet radio show.
Clearly.
Now, but shall we do the finals for Iron Comic?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. This is very exciting. Very exciting. The finals for Iron Comic. Now we're going to bring up Corey. Are you there in the pit? If you could, Corey, please introduce each contestant. Remember, the topic this week was time. Time. Let's introduce our first combatant.
Our first combatant walked into the Iron Comic Stadium as a fledgling boy. Maybe he'll exit as a man. Rob Haynes.
Hot sock.
Just like to point out, I was jiggling, not fledgling. Thank you. All right. Thing is time. I was reading in Time magazine the other day about these high schools in the Deep South that keep trying to ban books. And normally I'd be against something like it because I'm pro-free speech, but I kind of agree with them because one of the books they want to ban is Of Mice and Men, the George Steinbeck classic. And I know when I read that when I was a kid, I went home the next afternoon and killed my special cousin Lenny because he would not shut up about the rabbits, and it was terrible. Number two, on time. Have you ever been, like, sitting and just for a really long time staring at a lava lamp and then you really got to take a dump?
Subtle but effective.
Oddly enough, the same time I was staring at this lava lamp, I was hanging out at my friend's house. I'm not going to say we were high, but we had this really stupid conversation about what time we would like to travel back to if we were in the movie Back to the Future. And my one friend's like, I want to go back in time and meet JFK. And the other one said, I don't want to go back in time and meet Jesus. I, however, said I want to go back to a time when I didn't have man boobs, which is the time I was a zygote, which is pretty much not pleasant for me. I also find that I'm also a victim of really bad timing. Like I always show up at the bar right after happy hour ended, and I buy my clothes like right after they go out of style. And I asked my girlfriend to marry me right after she told me she was a lesbian, and it was just not fun.
That's a shame.
Then I wish there's the timeout in like football, basketball that they can use it to stop the clock and turn things back towards their favor. You know, if there's a play getting ready to be made, change things up. I wish that I could use that in real life. You know, like when I'm in traffic or like when I go to the bar and I realize that the girl I just bought a drink has a curiously large Adam's apple. So. And then finally, I read in the Piney Flats Times. That's my hometown paper.
Times.
Yeah, the Piney Flats Times. And oddly enough, this is I read this issue like last week when I was at home visiting my folks. And the headline, of course, was Lincoln has abolished slavery. But right underneath that was this article about my buddy that I went to high school with, and he got caught running the biggest meth lab in all of Carter County history. And we were very proud to hear that. But it got me to thinking that this is the same kid a scant 6 years ago was cheating off me in chemistry. And now he runs the biggest meth lab. Like, for some reason, like, he can't quite figure out the quadratic equation, but he knows how to make crank out of lightning bugs and orange juice. Thank you and good night.
Yeah!
Rob Haynes.
Hot sauce, Rob Haynes. The first one up. Shall we judge him?
Sure. Man, he talked about killing retards and poop, and I'm telling you.
Yeah. And he used the word zygote.
Zygote.
The word zygote. There's a zygote joke. There was several time travel jokes, I believe.
Right. And he mentioned the Piney Flats Times, and I've deducted points from him for that because I prefer the Chronicle.
That's my paper of choice in Piney Flats, Tennessee.
The Piney Post has the best entertainment
the
section.
Post, yeah, say what you will, but the Chronicle.
Fine job, Mr. Haynes. Now let's go to our next combatant. Corey?
Well, our next combatant is Joel T. Wilson. His comedic writing is fantastic. However, his facial hair is unfortunate.
Joel T. Wilson!
I like his facial hair.
Thank you, thank you. Thanks for having me. Time does crazy things to people. Let me tell you. For instance, Alice Cooper, once 70s rock god, now semi-professional golfer. Michael Jackson, recent convert to Catholicism. And and not unlike these other stars of the 70s, the other day I ran into Art Garfunkel at the Garden Center at Walmart in Smyrna. And I said, hey, have you got the time? And he says, no, but I've got Rosemary and and I love Rosemary and parsley and sage. So I decided the other day it was about time to clean my car out, and so I could maybe score some points with my roommate. I cleaned her car out as well. And let me tell you, girls have just about the grossest cars I've ever seen. There was hair everywhere, And in the change, in the little change bucket in the console, there was a lot of change, and then underneath that, a peppermint that had been there for a long time. I could tell because it was sticky and all the change was stuck to the rubber. And then in the back seat, there was a Tupperware, which I could tell had been there for a long time because it was furry, and I couldn't tell what was in it. It was furry. And in the trunk, I actually found the body of a small child, which I could tell had been there for a long time because it was all wrinkled. And then I took a closer look, and it was actually the guy from the Six Flags commercial. So, out of appreciation, I waxed her car twice. McFly. Boom. Thank you. I'd like to address the many wonderful films that we've made about time and all different aspects. Time travel, for one of my favorites, Bill and Ted. You got your Terminator, and of course, Back to the Future, Back to the Future 2, and Back to the Future 3, which I did see in the theater, and afterwards I wish that I could turn back time and keep myself from buying that ticket. Also, we've got the period pieces that take place in the past, like my favorite, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and Titanic, which, a little disappointing. Then, recently, there's been a cinematic
Hootie-hoo.
Thank you very much. I like to call it the musical crossover timepiece. I believe it was called Knight's Tale was one of them. And then, of course, the gayest movie ever made, Moulin Rouge,
yeah,
where they're actually taking place in the past and singing contemporary pieces that you and I grew up listening to. I've got a great idea, and I'm going to see if you guys think that it's a great idea as well. I want to see a movie that is a musical document of the heinous days of slavery in this country. Yeah, that's right. Bear with me. But the heinous days. Heinous.
As opposed to
very bad days of slavery in this country. But it appeals to the youth. It appeals to the youth using contemporary rap songs. Are you with me, people? Are you ready for this?
Where you're going, yeah.
You've got your Black Eyed Peas. No, 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 don't sell my mom.
Oh, my God. This is our last broadcast.
Then you've got you've got some songs sung from the evil slave owner's perspective. You know, like you've got
just giving you the crusty
Lot 40, forget your birthday, forget your name was ever Kuta Kinte. Okay. And lastly,
my earphones. What is he saying? My earphones. I can't quite hear him.
Are you guys beeping me out?
No, man.
Okay.
No, man.
Lastly, and this is it. I'm actually going to bring the crowd into this. It's a throwback to the 80s.
I'm sure they wanna
be okay. Good. It's a throwback to the 80s, and it's done in the style of an old Negro spiritual. Okay. So what I want you to do is I'm gonna get a beat going, and I'd like the audience to help me out. Okay. Help me out with a beat. Just real easy.
Anybody who helps them gets thrown out.
You gotta stop. Come on, white people.
This is so good.
You ready?
Hanging tough. Hanging tough. Thank you. I'm Joel T. Wilson.
Oh, my God.
And I'll be leaving out the back door.
Joel T. Wilson.
Oh, my God. We're never doing this again.
Okay.
Nobody empathizes with the black community than like Joel T. Wilson.
That's true. Yes. That's true. Well.
Yeah, well, assalamu alaikum to you, Joel. Yeah.
Joel started out, I have to commend him. He started out making funny faces.
That's
on the
true.
Radio,
that's true.
Which is, I have to give him props for because
and,
that's awesome.
And I got
to
give Joel credit. He didn't rework old jokes that he had. He wrote all new stuff
that's true.
In an hour.
Good for him.
Granted, it was racist.
he did make a Michael Jackson reference, talked about Art Garfunkel and baby corpses.
That's true. That's true. He ran the full gamut from delicious spices to fetuses and trunks. And I think that's. That's what comedy's all about. Let's give both of our combatants.
It just reminds me of the fact that we desperately need to get black people in on this show.
That's true.
Playing Tim Northern clips isn't going to keep us out of trouble.
That's true. If only we knew how to meet black people. Mm. So.
Oh, man.
What? I didn't even say anything. But.
We got to pick a winner.
Well, we did have to pick a winner.
Did we?
No, we didn't pick a winner. I got to say, it's very tough. Yes. And it's very epic. And the winner, the Iron Comic this week, is Mr. Rob Haynes. Rob, congratulations. And please give more applause to Mr. Joel T. Wilson for
yes. Rob, getting us in trouble with NAACP.
Rob, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I would just like to dedicate this award to all my brothers who died in the struggle. Fight the power.
All right.
See, it's not getting funnier. It's just it's just inflammatory.
It's a change of subject.
I feel awkward, so I'll scat. Scootin' doodle doo. Blocking out the last 10 minutes.
Oh, man. Well, do you want to play some clips?
Why don't we play a couple minutes from Donna Kenny, who will be our guest next week?
Hopefully, we haven't asked her
we'll,
yet.
And then we'll wrap things up with one last joke. Here is Donna Kenny on xradio.biz, Nashville Music City.
You're from Alaska. Easy. Colder. Now, we made that up to keep your stupid ass out. Yes, it's cold in Alaska. It's ass-chapping cold in Alaska. I breastfed my children. They didn't get milk. They got ice cream. I was walking down the street, it was like 30 below. I thought I dropped a couple of pennies. I'd been over to pick them up when, holy shit, those are my nipples. You should have seen the guy standing next to me. He thought he dropped a roll of dimes. Woo! Half a roll of dimes. Cold there. I have shitty roommates. Anybody got shitty roommates? You can't clap if you're sitting next to them. I understand. I got a guy and a girl living with me. The guy is like always locked in the bathroom with his porn. The girl's moody and on the phone, bitchy all the time. I would throw them out, and there's this clause in my lease, and apparently if you've given birth to them. My friends know that I do comedy. I get emails all the time. People send me stuff, you know, read this, it's funny. I don't have time to go through it all, but I had to read this one I got recently because it said, penis facts. think you can never know enough about the penis. Carrie Sloan, that's what it is. These were actual medical facts about the penis. And this one in particular I found very interesting. It said, and I quote, medical fact, when ejaculate leaves the penis, it travels at an average speed of 28 miles per hour. I have been there when it's left. Bloop, does not look like 28 miles per hour.
Donna Kenny, ladies and gentlemen.
My favorite part of her act is when she goes, bloop.
I like bloop, but I also like it when anyone says the word ejaculate.
That's awesome.
I think it's
Donna Kinney's great, man. I love her.
She's fantastic, and hopefully she'll be here next week. So now we're reading, and there's no way to play it off.
If you have extra material, go ahead and stretch it.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, we're about to wrap up here.
Actually, I've got sets we can play, but let's do one last joke anyway, and then we'll play us out with some.
Why should I sit here and write it when you're going to just read it anyway?
That's true. You can just say.
Just announce it.
Gives a crap.
Just announce it. We can always fix and post. Mm. So now we're going to do one last joke. First thing we want to do, there were a couple of comics here that we didn't get to, as well as a comedy fan named Shelly Raymond. Give it up for Shelly.
Shelly's
fine
awesome.
Comedy fan.
Fine musician. You're fine on musician. MySpace. MySpace slash what? Shelly Raymond.
Fitting. Fitting.
Trickly. Yes. So check her
see,
out.
See, that's the artistic mind.
And how do you spell Shelly?
With an E-Y.
Shelly with an E-Y.
Mm. Wow.
And Raymond, like everybody.
Like everybody loves.
Come on, spell
Shelly.
Everybody loves Shelly Raymond. That's fantastic.
Yay.
Shelleyraymond.
Jesse! Woo! He can spell.
Bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Bananas.
That's a... talent.
Yeah, I'm really good.
Mississippi.
Now, we are going to do one last joke. And let's bring up first a comic. He performed earlier today on a riverboat.
That's true. And did a great job.
Yes, he was entertaining shady 19th century gamblers. And he had a duel with the colonel. Ladies and gentlemen, Joey Strawn.
Yay,
going up, Joey.
Joey Strawn.
Now, those who've come to the X-Radio offices know that Joey's headshot is displayed prominently on the wall.
I love it.
And he is kind enough to actually handwrite his name underneath his picture.
Yes.
Just in
correct.
Case.
Every headshot is self-autographed.
Hey,
so, Joey?
You know, you got to love the fans.
Absolutely. The Strawn heads are out in full force. Now, Joey, give us one last joke.
Well, everybody always says that, you know, laughter is the best medicine. And I agree with that. But, you know... you know what else is good medicine? Penicillin. And people, that's not it. It's not over. Don't clap. And people say that penicillin is the best invention of this century. And while I like that, but I disagree with it because I think the best invention of this century has to be the George Foreman grill. And that's like a little bit of heaven at home, really. The only problem I have with the George Foreman grill is that I think if you're going to name something a lean, mean grilling machine, the spokesman shouldn't be a 420-pound retired boxer. That's all I'm saying. You know, it's
that's all he's saying. Joey Strawn, look for his new CD, Don't Clap, coming out next March. Now, next, we're going to bring up the wonderful Leslie Nash. Leslie, come
Leslie
on up here.
Nash.
Leslie did a wonderful job organizing the Katrina relief benefit we had last Tuesday. How you doing, Leslie?
I'm doing very well, Jesse Perry.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and we would love to hear your one last joke.
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna, instead of telling you a joke, I'm going to tell you about my little date I went on last night.
Which is
you
a
know,
joke.
A what?
Which could be a joke.
Well, it always is. that's why it's always the first and last right there all together. Just wrap it out. Went out with this guy. I decided I was going to wear this real sharp outfit. But, like, when I put it on, I waited all week. I put on the outfit, and I got that little front tummy bulge going on, you know.
I know that feeling.
I'm trying to figure out what I need to do, you know, real quick, because I really want to wear this outfit, and I don't have time to do enough sit-ups to get rid of the tummy bulge. So I'm looking around the house. I actually find a row of duct tape sitting there. So I give it like a couple of laps around my waist, you know. Figured NASCAR uses 200-mile-an-hour tape. It'll hold a gut in real good. So I put the outfit back on, And it looked real good, and things were going great till about halfway through dinner when I passed out. So
that's a good date.
Yeah, that's always a good date. So the first thing people do when you pass out is undo your pants, of course. And now I got the you got the tape girdle just shining in the whole restaurant there. And as the little EMT's cutting through that last strip of duct tape there, and I'm coming to, all I could hear was, "Everybody stand back. She's about to expand." So, needless to say, he hasn't called me today.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the darndest story I've ever heard. Leslie Nash.
That joke should be titled, or the story should be titled, "The Cheap Chastity Belt" on your CD. Cheap or chastity
or belt. You know, there's always duct tape girdle. Duct tape girdle, that's got Ray Stevens written all over it right there.
There's a project for
me and mama got a duct tape girdle. Me and mama got a duct tape girdle. Me and mama got a duct. So,
who else wants to do one last joke?
Coming up next on One Last Joke is
Corey Rapon.
The volunteer spirit in this state. It's fantastic and non-existent in this room. Corey, give us one last joke.
This is the public service announcement segment of the show. Little tip. If you know... Hold on, Leslie. I'm getting to it. I know it's useful information. If you know an attractive lady that drives a Kia with a bumper sticker on the back that says W, the president, go ahead and ask her out. Obviously, she makes poor life decisions.
Outstanding.
What's one more?
Oh, Corey Rapond. That satire bit me. That's how Bobby went.
Awesome.
Now, anybody else want to tell one last joke before?
Joel? Hit it.
Joel T. Wilson, ladies and gentlemen. Joel T. Wilson.
So I've got a good friend. Just got back together with his girlfriend. His ex-girlfriend, you know. They were together for a long time and terrible for each other, and everybody knew it. And they finally broke up, and everybody was happy. Spent a couple months talking about her. She was talking about him. They were fighting, whatever. And then they got back together. And I can't help but compare it to somebody, maybe if you have a friend on heroin, and they're on heroin, and you know that it's bad for them, and you do everything you can to help them kick heroin, and they finally do. And then you stand around and you talk bad about how heroin ruined your life, you know, all this and that. But then he gets back on heroin. He doesn't even think that everybody in town's been doing heroin the whole time he was off. And that maybe heroin's pregnant and just looking for a daddy.
Wow. That was a tragic metaphor. Coming up next is none other than your Iron Comic this week, Mr. Rob Haynes.
Robert.
So I was hanging around my house the other day with one of my roommates, and she had just broken up with her boyfriend, and like it was a nasty breakup. He ended up leaving her for somebody else, and she like was tearfully crying. He was like, "Rob, why do guys always go for the skanky kind of scuzzy girl?" And I had to level with her. It's the same reason that we go for Taco Bell, and it's because it doesn't look too bad when you're drunk and it's available at 3:30 in the morning. Oftentimes through drive-through window.
Wow. Man. That drive-through window, I don't, wow.
That's where I get all my dates.
That's true.
In the past.
Do we have any more? Mr. Dan Whitehurst, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Thought of this last night, cutting duct tape off a girl. But it's just a tip for those interested in the exciting world of Amish boxing. When it comes to Amish boxing, you can't just come up and challenge them to a pugilistic contest because they'll decline. You just got to run up and start boxing them. And I'm 11-4, by the way. Thank you very much.
Oh, man. Let's see. Chad, do you have one?
Oh, sure. Show? Yeah. My wife and I wanted to get living wills done. She went and got a document, and it's actually legal. I didn't know what to write, so I just gave her the same crap I turned in for my high school yearbook, living will thing. So God forbid if I die tonight because my best friend Sledge gets a get-out-of-jail-free card. My brother gets my lucky keg tap. And all you punk-ass bitches get to taste these nuts. And so I got a feeling that nobody
wants that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I feel better about the joke I was going to tell. Well, it's so sad. Apparently, Gilligan died.
Well, that's right.
Gilligan died recently. Apparently, FEMA couldn't get to the minnow fast enough. And
shocking.
I'm just kidding. If the Gilligan's crew were actual people, FEMA would save them, but the Harlem Globetrotters would be screwed. That's all. I'm just kidding. They're rich. Thank you very much.
Yay.
So I think, are we about to?
That wraps up another week of Nashville Stand-Up Radio Extravaganza Super Show.
Wow, we got to work on that name.
The title of this name of this show changes every single week.
But the theme music has been consistently bad.
And let's cue it, and let's sing the love theme to Nashville Stand Up as we leave. Oh,
Nashville Stand Up, love, clap your damn hands.
Nashville Stand Up.
Bye, everybody, screaming into the microphone.
Radio.
Everybody, have fun. We love you. There we go.
NashvilleStandUp.com.
Welcome to xradio.biz, Nashville's Music City, your number one station for indie entertainment from Nashville to the world.